How are we? How are we today? I am... No, let me not be negative, because I feel as though last week I was also, you know... Actually, no, I was fine. I just had rabies. I was okay. I just had... Well, actually, here's... Okay. First point, I'm well. I'm not really well, but we'll talk about that later. Second point, I'm about to get a second shot of rabies in my arm. I'm about to get rabies today. Whee! Yeah, I'm going to get my rabies shot today. Second shot, because you need 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm getting absolutely shot to Ross with all of these vaccines. Stay vaccinated. And third point, there's a man in the room. There's a man currently in this room because there was a problem with the lighting last week, and now the man has to be here to supervise, which I feel like is really... But today we're going to push through all of those things. We're going to push through the fact that I have rabies, the fact that there's a man in the room, and the fact that currently my hormones hate me. My hormones right now despise me. But I'm going to talk you through how I... How I'm doing and how I work through it. Now I just get to going. Oh, that's another point. Let me add that. Adding points to say later on in the podcast. So I'm just going to get going with the intro. This is a cup of tea I've got because I'm having to stay off caffeine, because that can apparently affect your mental health. Well, this is also caffeine, but coffee. We'll talk about it. This is In Ayame We Trust. I am Ayame, and this is my podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. And if you want to watch it visually, you can do so on my YouTube, Ayame P. And the podcast is called In Ayame We Trust. We are on episode 18, I think we are. Episode 18, which means we've got 2 left of the season. We're almost done of this first season. How do we feel? How do we feel, guys? I feel awful too. So let's talk about this. I keep playing with this dress. Let's talk about how I feel this week. Well, not really this week. Okay, let me look at my calendar, because I've also realized, and I don't know whether it's a mental illness thing. I'm actually going to be seeing a therapist shortly about it. I don't know whether it's because I'm doing too much or too little. I don't know what's going on with my brain. Long story short, my memory these days... When I say these days, I'm going to say for the last eight to 12 months, has been horrendous. I remember nothing. The weekend just gone, as in the weekend literally just gone, I went to Penzance. If you don't know where Penzance is, it's in Cornwall, which is the southern part of the United Kingdom, England. And I went to Cornwall with my family. Why? God knows. No. I went because it was my grandmother's birthday. Do you want to have a guess how old she is? Do you want to have a guess how old my grandmother is? And I don't know if I can really put a picture on. Maybe I can put a picture on here to really, so that you can really, you know, guess. She's 95 years of age. She's 5 years away from 100 years. She lived through World War II. She was an evacuee. She lived through pretty much all the wars that we learned about in school, except, you know, Civil War. What other wars? World War One. Long story short, Vietnam War. She was around for that, but she lived in the UK, so wasn't as heavy. What other wars? She's lived through Maggie Thatcher. She's lived through the Queen, becoming the Queen, and then dying. Imagine that. My grandmother was born. She's, I think, how old's the Queen? How old was the Queen when the Queen died? R.I.P. the Queen. If you don't, I love the Queen. What's, okay, I'm literally just Googling the Queen. Queen Elizabeth II, she was born 1926. Okay, so she was born 3 years before my mother. Okay, my grandmother, sorry. She died at 96. But she was like 20 when she was crowned Queen, and my grandmother was probably about what? Well, I think she was 25. My grandmother's maybe about 18. So she lived through the Queen being coronated and then dying. She lived through the birth of our current king. She lived for Winston Churchill. She was there listening to Winston Churchill on the radio. Do you know how pissing crazy that is? What else? Jimmy Savile. She was around. Okay, she wasn't involved. She wasn't involved with the Jimmy Savile cases. Let's just stay. But She was alive when Jimmy Savile was you know, enjoyed. Crazy. What else? What else has she lived through? Let's look at what else she's lived through. She was alive for Marilyn Monroe. Do you know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying? She's pissing old, but she is active. Long story short, I love her. I love my grandmother so much. She is the light of my life. I will literally give anything for her. And it was her 95th birthday on the weekend. He's drinking the tea that I made him. I swear to God, Toby, if you get that tea on my carpet or on my couch. Long story short, so yeah, we were spending the weekend in Penzance with my family. Now, the week prior to that was a good week, was it? I don't know. This is the thing. This is what I'm saying. I have to check my calendar to know if it was a good week because my memory is awful. I have to... He took a sip and went like this. That's why you're allowed in the room, Toby. That is why, because of that little thing. I have to check my calendar to know if I've had a good week. Do you know how wild that is? Because I can't remember. Now, someone told someone on TikTok, which is my now piece of gospel, said that if you're unable to remember things in your 20s, like in an early stage in your life, it may be because you have so much suppressed trauma that it's removing all of your memories. And I thought that was lovely. I don't think I'm that traumatized though. I mean, I have some traumas, but not like there's people more traumatized than I am. Long story short, let's check if last week was a good week. Yay, last week was a good week. Last week was a good week. It wasn't until last week was a great week, actually. I had a good, fun week. It wasn't until the weekend. Oh, and I had my rabies for about 4 days. Oh, did I tell you all about that? Last Tuesday, I had my rabies shot, couldn't move for about 3 days. I was rabid. Then I posted on TikTok and I even said in my podcast last week that I'd like to experience rabies, but apparently it's really serious. Should we look at the symptoms? This podcast is going the way that I did not expect it to go. Rabies symptoms. The first symptoms of rabies may be similar to the flu, including weakness or discomfort, fever or headache. Okay, we've all been there. So what's so bad about rabies? Rabies is a rare but serious infection that is usually caught from a bite or scratch from an infected animal. It's almost always fatal. It's almost always fatal once symptoms appear, but vaccination and early treatment can prevent it. Okay, so does that mean if it's almost always fatal, I could die? Right, so from last week when I said I want rabies, take it back, delete it from the script. That never happened, I never said it, I don't want rabies. In fact, I'm going to get my rabies injection now so that I can have a small amount of rabies and not have to experience the full thing because I don't want to die from rabies. Rabies? Anyway, last week was good week. This weekend, maybe it was the rabies. No. This weekend, as I say, went to go celebrate my grandmother's 95th birthday in Cornwall. And then my hormones decided to really piss around with me. They really decided to mess me the ras up because I was a mess and I had to hide it because it's Nana's birthday. It's Nana's big day. It's all about Nana. So I can't be down. I can't be sad because it's her big day. Oh, to be a woman is to hide your emotions. So my hormones were really messing me up and I was really struggling and I was really, you know, self-sad. I don't know, I was really beating myself up for it. And there were some things that I just kind of helped get me through it. And I'm going to run through what they were today to see if that helps anyone else. Because when I posted on my Instagram that I was having some hormonal issues, people were saying that they felt the same. And therefore, I want to talk to you guys about hormones because a lot of us have them, and how I got through that weekend of terrible hormones. Point one, you have to just allow your hormones to hormone. They're whores and they will moan. You have to allow them to do it because essentially it's not your fault when you're feeling these sad feelings or when you're feeling this. It's because it's a difficult feeling to explain because it's not just sad. It's like a sadness mixed with, why the hell are you feeling sad? What the hell? Stop beating yourself up, Amy. Well, you're allowed to feel sad. Yeah, well, it's stupid that I'm feeling sad. Why am I even feeling sad? I have nothing to feel sad about. Yeah, well, you just are. Now I'm just angry. I'm angry at everything. I'm angry at everything because I'm already feeling sad and that's really stupid. And now I'm hungry and I want to eat everything. I want to eat everything because I'm sad and I'm angry. I'm so angry. Why does no one love me? Why does no one love me? And that's kind of how I felt on the weekend. And you just have to really allow yourself to have all of that and try and remove the blaming as much as you can, because that does ignite the anger a little bit. Because as I say, you have no control over your hormones. You have some control in what you do in the day to day to kind of make them less sporadic and chaotic, but in the grand scheme of things, your hormones are going to whore you up as much as they can, and they don't give a hoot and heck. Your hormones don't give a hoot and heck what you've got to do. They have got to do their process. So they don't give a piss if you've got a busy weekend, if you've got a weekend full of joy where you have to be happy, happy, happy. They don't give any hecks, let alone a hoot and heck, because they're just going to hormone. Do you know what I mean? So you've just got to allow them to do that. My skin over the weekend... It was really upsetting me because it was just, she was breaking out and she was angry. She was really angry. And I thought, oh my God, why are you so angry? Why are you so mad at me? What I did do is when I came back home, I did a gua sha. I can't tell you how good a gua sha is. In fact, I can. I'm telling you right now, a gua sha is really good. A little jade stone, not all of them are jade. I think my one's rose quartz, but a little stone that you have to do it in a specific process. Don't just because you could bruise your skin, but gua shaing, oh my God, releasing all that lymphatic, draining all that lymphocytes. Oh my God, because it can really clear you up. It did for me. I know I look still a little bit blemished. I've had a tough weekend, okay? Anyway, so that's what I did. I gua shaed. I gave myself some grace. I allowed myself to absolutely eat everything. That's what I did. I, for some reason, was craving tea. Like there's no, I mean, I've got a tea now, but when I say tea, I was craving a black tea, milk, two sugars. That's my tea. Hold on. Like there was no tomorrow. I was having tea. I had about 6 teas a day over the weekend and biscuits. And, you know, it was a lot of sugar and it was a lot of, you know, not really nutritionally dense foods, but I wanted it and I had it. And of course, it does become cyclical in that I'm drinking a load of sugary tea and eating biscuits and then my skin's getting bad and I'm feeling bloated. Of course. But at the same time, self-diagnosing, knowing that these are all connected. And once the hormones stop beating you the ras up, then you can kind of step out of the connection and get everything back on track. So that's what I was doing. I'm feeling a bit better now. I went to the gym yesterday. That helped, especially with the bloat, especially with feeling as though I would accomplish something because I was feeling really, you stupid, ugly lump of just disgusting lard. You're just awful. Awful. And just going to the gym, I mean, I didn't lose weight in the time that I went to the gym, but I was being active and I released endorphins, and that just kind of made me feel like, yeah, I do love the gym, you know. So just doing things like that, giving yourself I'm looking at my computer and it just says rabies, giving yourself grace and allowing yourself, you know, the moments to just fall a bit, to pick yourself back up. And that's what I did. Oh, and also remaining, I was very much happy in the fact that I was able to know that it was hormones. Because obviously there were parts when I was being sad and it was like, why are you so sad, stupid? And then I was like, oh, girl, it's your hormones. It's nice being able to blame your hormones and know that it's completely out of, I mean, don't be a bitch. Don't be evil to people because... there's no excuse for being absolutely evil. You can't blame that on hormones. But knowing that you're having a tough weekend and you can just say, it's my hormones. It's not me. It's just those little sex hormones in me. You know? I'm going to read you guys some hormone facts. Hold on. Some facts about hormones, because we're going to learn about them. Because I learned about them all this weekend, because I was really fighting against them. So should we start? Should we begin? I think we should. Hold on. Hold on. And now let me just say, I got these from the internet. Do I know that they are in fact gospel? No. But they're like from websites with like doctors on. So I feel like, you know, believable. And I'm going to mainly be talking about estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, which are the main ones that we have as women. Because testosterone is a male and female hormone, just so you know. Just so you know. So when you're talking about people not being manly enough because they don't have enough testosterone, well, women have testosterone too. So how about that? Feminism. Hold on. Ooh. The word hormone comes from the Greek hormeo, or homao, meaning to excite. There's nothing exciting about them for me. They don't excite me. Although, orgasms, is that a hormone? Do you get that from hormones? I'm not too sure. Compounds produced by the endocrine systems glands circulate in our blood. They command cells and systems to do all the things we do to live. They help us breathe. They remind us to eat and to stop. They heal wounds and they get us pregnant. Oh, that's not exciting. That's not exciting for me. Oh, anyway. Yeah, here's the point. Testosterone is important for women too. The male, it says male in bunny ears, male, because it's both male and women. Male and women. The male sex hormone produced by the ovaries and adrenal glands may help keep libido up. Oh. Your levels fall naturally in your 30s. I'm 27. But they don't plunge further in menopause. And while testosterone supplementation can help some women with low libidos, it's unclear whether long-term use is safe. Don't take testosterone if you want to feel like you want to have sex. Okay? That's what it's basically saying to me. That's all it's saying to me. Oh. Ah. Body weight affects hormones. There's no need for that. So do diet, sleep, and exercise. Gaining or losing weight can impact insulin, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, thyroid hormone, thyroid hormones, leptin, and ghrelin, the hunger and satiety, respectively. Lose just 10% of your weight through healthy eating and exercise, and you improve your body's response to insulin, and you'll lower your odds of developing. Okay, we know that. What about hormones? Is insulin a hormone? Hold on. You're not really giving me any good facts here. This is from prevention.com and I want more interesting things. Okay, this is about menopause. I'm not there yet at all. Right, hold on. Ah, 16 essential facts about female hormones that every woman should know. Hormones fluctuate. Hormone levels in women can vary from day to day and even from hour to hour. This is because hormones are regulated by complex interplay of factors such as menstrual cycle, stress, diet, and sleep. Did you know as well that as women we need more sleep than men because of our hormone regulation? It's disgusting. Men can do about 6 to 8 hours and we need like 8 to 10. Oh. What else is there? Oh, it's talking about diet and lifestyle choices. I don't want to hear it. It's talking about hormones and stress are related. Stress can have a significant impact on hormone levels in the body. When we experience stress, the body's fight or flight response is activated, causing the release of cortisol, the primary stress hormone. Oh, it's a hormone. Well, okay, fine. Oh, it increases blood sugar levels, heart rate, and blood pressure. Wow. Oh, but if you have chronically elevated cortisol levels due to ongoing stress, it can disrupt the delicate balance of other hormones in the body, such as estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. But we know that because we know about those stories of women that can't get pregnant and they get less stress. They get stressed about not getting pregnant and then their cortisol is just up through the roof and then they decide to go on a spa weekend and then they get pregnant. Or am I just quoting a Hollywood movie? Maybe. Maybe. Hormone imbalances can cause other symptoms. Oh, it can cause stress. So we're just, as women, we are constantly stressed. So that's all I'm getting from this. Our hormones are making us constantly stressed. When hormones are not properly balanced, it can lead to symptoms such as fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, and irregular periods. Fatigue makes it difficult to perform daily tasks. Yes, it does. I took a really long nap last weekend. Me. I can relate. Okay. Hold on. Everything's happening right now and it's throwing me off. I'm getting texts, I'm getting calls, I'm getting trying to search up hormones, and right now it's causing my cortisol levels to rise. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. Oh God, this is getting awful. The thyroid. Now, I don't really know much about the thyroid. Should we divulge? The thyroid gland plays a critical role in maintaining overall health by producing thyroid hormones that regulate various bodily functions, including metabolism, heart rate, and body temperature. When the thyroid gland produces too much or too little, it can lead to hyperthyroidism or hypothyroidism. Okay. What does that tell me? Oh. Hyperthyroidism occurs when the thyroid gland produces too much thyroid, leading to symptoms such as weight loss, rapid heart rate, and tremors. On the other hand, hypothyroidism occurs when the thyroid gland produces too little, leading to weight gain, fatigue, and sensitivity to cold temperatures. In both cases, hormone imbalances can be managed through medications and lifestyle changes, such as maintaining a balanced diet and regular exercise. It always says that in everything. Maintain a balanced diet and regular exercise. How about you mind your business? How about you mind your business? What I do with my life is my life. Oxytocin is... How many hormones do we have? Sorry. Oxytocin is a hormone that is naturally produced in the body and has been linked to various social behaviors, including trust. What? What are we talking about? Trust, social bonding, and maternal behavior. Trust. When oxytocin is released, it promotes a sense of calm and relaxation, reducing stress and anxiety levels. Oh, so this is a good person hormone. This is a good, nice hormone. Oh, okay, good. Oh, great. So how do we improve our oxytocin? It doesn't tell me. Useless. This is what I hate. I bet a man wrote that. Do you see how I'm trying to really understand a woman's hormonal situation, but there's no information here. Women's health is just really poorly looked after. Okay. Now let's go to this absolutely medical article from the Cosmopolitan. 22 period facts that will blow your mind. It's so funny that there's a man in the room and I'm just reading period facts. It's fine. He's just a little boy. He's just enjoying. He's done a thumbs up. He loves periods. A rare period disorder can cause bleeding of the eyes. What? Known as vicarious menstruation, this rare but terrifying condition makes you bleed from organs besides your uterus, like your eyes, while you're on your period. But here's the thing. Now we're going to get gross now. We're going to get gross. Because... let's be honest, it's not just blood. It's also pieces. Do you know what I mean? So does that come out of your eye? The little globs? Do you get the globs in your eye? I'm trying to be cryptic. There's a man in the room. I'm talking about period blobs coming out of your eye. Let's whisper. Will the blobs come out of your eye as well, or is it just blood Interesting. Most women. Oh. Most women. No, do you know what? Feminism. Most women have period stains in every pair of underwear. Every pair? Okay. I mean, understandable, but at the same time, don't we kind of subsection... I'm saying we, as this is a united experience. Don't we subsection which ones go for which? Do you know what I mean? Because there's some pieces I wouldn't wear. So every piece, no. But there's some that I wouldn't wear on those times. You know what I mean? I'm speaking cryptically as well because there's a man in the room. Isn't this such a real understanding of the oppression of women? I can't speak for it. Oh, he has a sister. So he knows what it's like to have a period. Thanks, Toby. Fine. Well, then I'm going to speak freely about periods. Getting periods can worsen your asthma symptoms. What? In the week leading up to your period, an increased sensitivity to allergens. I was sneezing all the week before. Oh, my piss. Wow. We're learning more now. We're learning more. In the week leading up to your period, an increased sensitivity to allergens paired with a lower than normal lung capacity causes between 19 and 40% of women with asthma to experience premenstrual asthma. Don't go for runs if you're about to start your period and you have asthma. Second point, did you know I have 100% lung capacity? And that's not a joke. I went and got tested in January. I had a medical exam and I did one of the... things where you blow really hard, but it's actually a wide, I'm not going to do it because there's children in the room, but you blow into the thing and I have 100% lung capacity. So all of you people vaping out there, all of you vapists and you smokers, you need to stop, because don't you want 100% lung capacity to do absolutely nothing? I don't use it. I can run. But other than that, I don't use it. Did you see that everyone was doing the marathon last week? We're digressing so far. Why was everyone and their mother doing the marathon? And why does everyone now want to do a marathon? It's a lovely time. I do want to do a marathon. But bloody hell, everyone was doing a marathon. Well done to everyone that ran. I didn't watch it this time. Why? Because I was in Cornwall. And it was my nan's birthday. And are we going to celebrate my nan or are we going to watch the marathon? I think we're going to watch the marathon. Kidding. Anyway. Back to the facts. Back to the facts at hand. Hold on. Now, if you don't menstruate and you're listening to this podcast, you may think, ugh, boring. Why don't you care about women's health? Why don't you care about women's health? Why don't you care about women's health? Shocker, that one. Sleeping with a nightlight can regulate your cycle. What? Light exposure affects the secretion of the sleep hormone, melatonin, which helps control the release of the female reproductive hormones that determine when your menstrual cycle, why can't I read, begins and ends. In a study published in the journal it's my hormones, I can't read, it's my hormones and the rabies. It's my hormones, the rabies and Toby's in the room. In the journal Psychiatry Research back in the early 90s, women with an extra long and irregular cycle slept next to a regular 100-watt light bulb for a few days during the last 2 weeks of their cycles shortened their cycles by an average of 12 days, meaning this targeted approach could help regulate your periods. Here's the thing, I can't sleep with any light. I can't sleep with any light or any sound going on, so we're just going to have to stick with the long periods for me. 12 days? So how long's their regular period? If it was shortened by 12 days. 12 days? Girls, I'm so sorry. That's hell. Oh, God. The sound of your voice changes during your period. What? What? Vocalization researchers theorize that female reproductive hormones actually impact your vocal cords, altering your voice. Did I sound like that? How do I sound right now? How do I sound right now? The average woman has more than 400 periods in her lifetime. That doesn't seem like a lot. I feel like we usually have more. That seems like a low number. 400 in their lifetime? Oh, menopause. Menopause. You get to 50 and then it stops-ish. Around 50s. Okay, fine. And then you're... Okay, fine. So within like a 30... Wow, so we only really have our periods for like... Let's say... Okay, let's work out this math. Let's say I live up to my grandmother's age. Inshallah. Let's say I live up to 95. Minimum. Start your period around what? 14? And you finish having your period... What's the average menopause age? Average menopause age. Who'd have thought? 51. So let's say from the age of 14 to 51. Maths. 51 minus 14. 37. So for... Wow! So let's put that into perspective then. This is getting really educational. Let's put that into perspective. Let's say, inshallah, I live up to 95 years of age, at least, minimum. I've just whacked off my slippers. Don't look at my toes. Let's say I live up to 95, around that age. And I started my periods when I was 14. I would have only had my periods for, and I finished around the average age of menopause, 51. I would have only had my periods for 37 years of my life, which means for the most of my life, I wouldn't have had a period. Isn't that so interesting? Isn't it so funny when you put life into perspective? Like when you look at life in the grand scheme of things as opposed to the experience that you're having right now? Because for most of my life, if I live that long, I hope I do. But for most of my life, I won't have a period. Crazy, hey? Let's think about that. So let's think about this. Let's think about this time where we're having periods, and let's be grateful for it, because we won't always have this. Let's be so happy and grateful that we get to experience this moment for such a short period of time. Everything is temporary. I'm so blessed. Oh, there's a reason why tampons are sold in boxes of 18. That's the average number of tampons used during each cycle. Wow. Interesting. Never really noticed that. I don't really count how many tampons I use. Before her mission in 1983, NASA engineers asked Sally Ride if she would need 100 tampons for the week of her period in space. Her savage response was, no, that would not be the right number. 100 tampons? Let's work out the maths. What's 100 takeaway? So let's say her period lasted for the whole week. 14 tampons a day. 14 tampons a day. Toby, let's do some market research here. And I'm going to relay back because there's a man in the room. How old are you, Toby? 25. Toby is 25. He is a young black man. Toby is 25. I'm going to ask Toby, how many tampons do you think a woman uses during her menstrual cycle? 20. 20 tampons. 20. Now let's work that out. Well, you just heard. You just heard the fact about the... You cheeky... I just gave you the facts. This is why men are cheaters. They're liars. They're disgusting. They always want to lie and cheat. How many would you have said before that fact? I was thinking three a day. Three a day. Three a day. Okay. How much would that be? Okay. Hold on. I'll allow him to pass. He said every woman's different. That made me feel special. Anyway, fact number 10, you could go through up to 15,000 period products in your lifetime. So why aren't they free? Should we work out the maths of that? During these rough 450 periods that you'll have in your lifetime, you'll use between 12,000 to 15,000 pads, tampons, and panty liners. Now, let's work that out. Let's work out the maths here, because if there's one thing I love, it's maths. So if, on average, let's say you only use tampons. Let's only use it for the tampons. Let's say you only buy tampons. For the 15,000 tampons that you buy, they're sold in packs of 18. So let's say 15,000 divided by 18. So you'd be buying 833 boxes in your lifetime of tampons. 833 boxes. Now, how much are tampons? Tampons, box. Hold on. And the reason I'm Googling this is because I don't actually know how much a box of, because I buy mine from Costco. Because this bitch needs a bulk buy. So let's say £4.18. We've got £4.18. We've got £2 here. Let's say average £3. So then how much was that number before? What number did I have just then? What number did I just have? 15,000 divided by 833 times 3. On average, during our lifetime, we will spend £2,500 on tampons. £2,500. £2,500 Great British pounds on tampons to stick up our cooter because the government doesn't want to provide it. And that's ignoring the people that may have a heavy flow and therefore need extra. Anyway, those are my facts. Oh, there's more facts. Oh my God, there's more facts. Do we want to carry on with the facts? I'm enjoying it. Why? Because I experience periods. If you don't experience periods, then you might not be finding it that fun. But let me tell you, I don't care about you right now. I'm reading it and I'm having a great time. Oh, this one's about me. This one mentions me. This one says Ayame. The period you get while taking hormonal birth control isn't a real period. Now, here's a fun fact. I take birth control. Would you like to know why? Not because I have penises every which where, but because I suffer from severe hormonal acne. And when I don't take birth control, my skin is hideous. So I have to take birth control to regulate my hormones. I think I just have naturally a lot of hormones. I think I'm just really hormonal. So let's read. When you take your white pills or remove your ring, it's a ring, your body doesn't get the synthetic progesterone needed to keep your uterine lining in place. So it sheds, says Elisa Vitti, creator of My Flow Tracker app and author of Woman Code. So while your flow might look the same, it's not caused by the biological processes as your period, and you lose zero eggs when you're on birth control. What? You lose zero eggs when you're on birth control? How many eggs have I got right now? What? Hold on now. How many eggs do I have? Because let's be honest, let's look at the maths. Sorry, we're getting really serious right now. I've been on birth control since I was about 15. I know. Teehee. I've been on birth control since I was about 15. And I came off for like 3 years. My skin went terribly. And then I went back on. So do I have more eggs than someone that's never been on birth control? Does that mean my menopause won't come until later on in life? Why am I on birth control then? My skin. Why is... So I've still got the same amount of eggs? I'm confused. I need a doctor on this podcast. Does anyone know any doctors to bring them on? Because I don't know what's happening right now. You lose zero eggs. Well, they do say that, yeah, the period that you have during your birth control, you know when they say you should break for a week? That was to help the church. That was when birth control was first introduced. I'm going to say the 1970s, 60s. Let's have a gook. This is going to be an hour long episode about birth control. When was birth control pill? 1960. So when it was introduced in 1960, in order for it to be, say, in order for the church to say, yes, this can happen, because the church, we need the church to approve. In order for the pill to be pushed out to the masses, it had to get approval from the church. And in order to do so, they had to say, well, we give a week a break, because obviously in line with the woman's normal menstrual cycle. So that the church were happy, but you don't actually need to take a break. You could stay on your pill
I like to take a break because it feels almost routine, so to speak. But I don't necessarily need to. And that's all I'm going to say.
Did you know orgasms can make your cramps feel better? During a period, uterine contractions caused by an orgasm can release pain-fighting neurotransmitters like endorphins and oxytocin. But that means you have to have period sex. Do what you wish. Each to their own. Each to their own. Menstrual cups can safely be worn for 4 hours longer than tampons. Toby, do you know what toxic shock syndrome is? Let me, just in case you didn't hear, he said, let's say hypothetically you have something up there and it didn't release.
Or like, you know, the stuff didn't release, you know, the stuff that normally didn't.
Wow. Toby is in the corner of the room. You can contact him. I'll read his number out at the end. He knows what toxic shock syndrome is. The bare minimum. Do you see how exciting that is for me as a woman, that I'm excited that a man knows what toxic shock syndrome is? And I'm like, wow, you're different. Bare minimum. Toxic shock syndrome can happen when you've had it, a tampon or diva cup inside of you for too long, and it does get infected, and it can cause, in some cases, death. Yeah. So take your tampons out and change them regularly. Come on, guys. Anyway, American women are less comfortable talking about their periods with guys than women abroad. Well, I'm not American, and we just had a discussion about periods and blood. Why? Only 35% of US women reported no discomfort in discussing their periods with male co-workers. On the other hand, 50% of Spanish women said they were cool talking about their flows with male, with male colleagues and classmates. Why are you Americans so uptight about your peers? Your little periodas, your little red weeks, huh? Disney made a movie about periods in the 1940s. The magical Disney production you've never seen is called The Story of Menstruation and was funded by Kotex. Essentially, it's an explainer for tweens on what's about to hit their ovaries very soon. Okay, hold on. Hold on. Your natural musk changes while you're on your period. Men's testosterone levels rise when they whiff clothing worn by an ovulating woman, but not a menstruating one. A sign they're more aroused by women who are ripe for baby making and off their periods. Wow. The scent change, which is diminished by hormonal birth controls, is otherwise undetectable since it's caused by odorless steroids. Wow. Wow. We are all just animals on this planet running around smelling each other. That's crazy. Hold on. There's so many facts here. Oh. Your period probably isn't syncing up with your roommates. So what? Do you not sync up then? When researchers monitored the cycles of 186 women living in the same dorm for more than a year, they found that the women's periods didn't sync up after all. What? So we've been lied to. I thought you sync up with people that you're with. Like the moon. Water can temporarily cork your flow. The pressure from the water counteracts with the gravity of blood exiting your vagina. And it's not that you stop bleeding. It's more that the pressure stops the blood from flowing out. Teehee. Well, this has been, how long has this been? 48 minutes of talking about periods. Wow. What a lovely time we've had talking about periods. We've been sat here for 48 minutes talking about periods. Are you bored? He's bored. He's bored of us women. He's bored of women's menstrual health. I'm sorry that we bore you. I'm sorry that our pain each month bores you. I don't know what he's doing. He's not paying me full attention, which is really throwing me off. Anyway, now we're going to move on to the agonies. And because we've been talking for 48 minutes about period facts, we're going to do a few. Not a lot, but a few. Let's get to it. This is the agony section of the podcast, which, as I say, won't last very long. Which won't last very long, because we've been talking about periods. And let me tell you, if you have just skipped past the whole of the period talk to come to here, why don't you care about women? Why do you hate women, in fact? Why don't you want to hear about us? Why do you want to hear about our struggles? Anyway. I'm picking this at random. Random. Ooh, here we go. This is a big one. We're putting the laptop on our laps. Okay. Dear Iame, very quickly, I want to say, before I start the agony, I just want to say I'm so happy I found your reaction videos on my IG Reels, as it led to me being... led me to your amazing content. Thank you. Anyway, so there's this girl. Some context. We've been on and off since April. Are you a lesbian? I don't know if you're a lesbian. Some context. We've been on and off since April. I know you're not going to like me saying this, but she has not the best attitude. Being as nice as possible. But it's a good thing, as we're very similar and don't take jokes personally because of it. What do you mean by she has not a nice attitude? Because if you're going to say that a woman has an attitude, you're going to piss me off. Or do you mean like she just doesn't have a good outlook on life? What are you talking about? She is honestly the only person I can see myself with, and I've felt like this since we started speaking. Okay, time for the bad bit, they say. Since breaking no contact in January, I found out she's had a long-distance boyfriend for years. She casually mentioned it to me like it was no big deal, and I took that as a sign of friend zoning. However, we've continued having similar conversations and even going for food on Valentine's. I know I should let go, as all my mates remind me. But she's the first girl I've genuinely liked or could even tolerate since my ex of 2 years, who also, coincidentally, was in a relationship. However, I knew about this relationship. Oh, that's good. Knew about this relationship since the beginning, and we just sneaked around him. You lack morals. You lack a moral, I don't know what the word is, a good moral standing. What the piss are you doing? Shoot me, they've said. I know it's bad, but I'm kind of hoping for the same thing with this girl. And I did love the excitement, but I've grown up and that isn't a healthy thing to do. Well done. I guess I'm coming to you to ask, should I leave it and leave her alone or continue having fun till I inevitably get hurt again? Thank you so much. A, I know she listens to this podcast, so I don't want to reveal my government name. Too late, sweets, because, okay, let's be honest. First of all, you both listen to the podcast. Love. Secondly, she's going to figure out it's you, sweetie. She's going to figure out it's you. It's a very, very, descriptive agony. Long story short, you've answered the question yourself. I hope you've answered the question yourself, because you've said, should I leave it and leave her alone or continue having fun till I inevitably get hurt again? Which one sounds like the better option for you? Which one to you, using your powers of deduction, which one sounds like the better option? Also, why are you sleeping around with people in relationships? There's so many fish in this goddamn sea. There are so many people on this planet. And you're dealing with a woman. So good women aren't hard to come by. Good men, yes. But you're dealing with a woman. So you can absolutely find a good woman. Again. You don't need to be with one that is in a relationship and quite clearly doesn't care about the boundaries of said relationship if she's willing to flirt and sleep and be with you. Don't you want to be with someone that values the respect and trust within a relationship enough to respect and trust her current partner so that if they end up breaking up and if it's your then chance to win, she would then respect and trust the boundaries of your relationship? Wouldn't you want that? I think you can answer that question yourself. You need to get away from me. Love you. Crazy. Why do you guys ask me these crazy questions, these crazy wild things? Wild thing. Oh, I deleted it by accident. Put that in there. This is another random one. And it's been almost an hour, so it's in rabies. Dear Iame, just to preface, I'm a 23... Whoa.
Just to preface, I'm a 23-year-old female who is both working full-time and a full-time graduate student. And recently married.
You're 23.
My husband and I are currently saving up for a house in the next few months, but I'm stuck at a job that makes me miserable. I'm treated poorly and face harsh treatment working in the mental health field. I feel stuck as I'm a student saving for a house. I plan to go part-time once I start my internship in 4 months and leave once I graduate, but that is a year away. Am I truly stuck or is there a solution I am not seeing? Also, I should mention I have anxiety, so don't come for me. Oh, I've already come for you. I've already literally just screamed at you. So you're a student, but you're also working. You're working full-time and you're a full-time graduate student. That was a choice that you made, knowing you have anxiety. That was a choice that you made, and you are having to live with that. That is, you've made that bed. And you're currently saving up for a house, congratulations, in the next few months. Stuck at the job makes you miserable. I mean, we've all been there. We've all been in a job that makes you miserable, but at the same time, is it like you're waking up just like, ugh, or you're waking up fully dreading the day? If it's the second one, you need to get out as soon as possible, because once your mental health slips, everything slips around it. Your schoolwork, your married life, everything. So I would say if it's just a thing where it's like, oh God, but you can wait until next year when you graduate and you become an intern, da da da, I would do that. I would stay because, you know, pays the bills. If you're waking up thinking, you're getting the Sunday scaries where you're thinking you're going to have to go into work. Before your shift, you're thinking, I can't do this. You have to literally fight the urge to call in sick, push yourself out of bed, leave that place of work because it is not good for your mental health, regardless of the situation you're in. A house, you're saving up for a house, but you can always, timelines are not fixed. You can buy your house the following year after you graduate, but you've lived a good year of comfortableness, not a year of struggle. It doesn't have to be within that moment. Do you know what I mean? It's not now or never. Things happen when they happen, and it doesn't have to be at specific timelines. So yeah, there is a solution. You're not stuck as a student. All students feel stuck. I feel like when you're in that period of being a student, you feel stuck because you know that you, that is what you want to do, and you can't get out. It's again, that is a specific timeline you kind of have to stick to, unless you leave and come back. But you're all stuck. You're kind of working to someone else's time, i.e. your tutors. So it's okay for you to feel stuck. Sorry, it's normal. But you're just going to have to ride the wave. And if you're really struggling at work, leave. Find another job. There's always other work. They may pay less. They may not. You may feel as though you're going back. But this, the main thing is that you are happy and going to work happy. Ask your husband to provide some emotional support if he's your husband now.
Me.
Ugh, husband. Happy for you, though. Happy that you're building a future with this man. So happy. No, this is lovely. But yeah, no, if you're miserable, but it's like a ha-ha miserable, then get over it. We've all been there. If not, and if you want to kill yourself, leave. And that's my piece of advice. Well, this has been my episode. It's been a whole hour. Talk about periods. Talk about girl things. We're just being girls. We're just being girls and gays. Although something tells me the gays didn't tune in for the period part. Long story short, we've been talking about periods. Also, I saw another news, but we'll talk about it later. Long story short, there was we won't talk about it, but basically there was a handbag designer that said that she smuggled a load of protected reptile skins. There were reptiles or something that you can't, like a type of animal that you can't kill. She killed them. She allowed them to be killed and she bought them and then she smuggled them in her handbags. I'm not really retelling this news very well. I'm hungry. My voice is. Anyway, I've had a great time just kikiing with you all. This has been episode 18. This is episode 18, which means we have two left. I'll see you all next week. I hope you have a fantastic week filled with joy. I'm about to go and get my rabies now. Is there anything I can tell you this week that I'm going to do that's going to be fun? On Saturday is the National March for Palestine. That's where I'm going to be on Saturday. That's another point I have to make. Up until this point, I haven't been able to go on one of the marches, one of the protests, because it's been either work. Sorry. Either work or just something outside of my control that I had to do on the Saturdays that they're on. So on Saturday is the National March for Palestine. It starts at 12. And I believe it starts at Parliament Square. I'm not too sure. I got the information from... It's an Instagram page. But long story short, I'll be there. If you are free on Saturday, please also come and make your voice heard to stop the atrocities that are happening in Palestine for absolutely no reason other than the fact that they are Palestinians. Do you know what I mean? There's no reason for this to be happening. Palestine Solidarity UK on Instagram. They are posting information about that. And if you're going to be there, I'll see you there on Saturday. Say hello. And let's stop this disgusting stuff. Anyway, have a fantastic week and I'll see you all next week.